Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Give the Lord Jesus a great praise. Will you do that? Amen. Look at somebody and say, you're the best looking thing I've seen today. Yeah, and then you can be seated. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Pastor Spencer and Pastor Madison. This is my first time in the new building, and wow, it looks great. Amen? It was worth the journey, wasn't it, to end up here? And boy, your pastors have led so well. I just experienced the presence of the Lord here, and I believe the Lord spoke this to me, refreshed it to my spirit for you this morning. Every step you take toward excellence is a stairway into a greater presence of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit lived in heaven before he ever came to this earth. Do you understand the excellence and the order of heaven? And now Holy Spirit wants to come in where we are. And the more we create excellence in our lives, in our atmospheres, in our environments, everything under the sphere of our influence, the more we'll sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? So will you honor your pastors? What great pastors they are. I mean that with all my heart. I believe I have a word for you this morning, and I'm cutting on a timer here because I don't want to go too long, but I believe I have a word, and I believe I have fought to get here to give it to you. So I believe it is so important that you need to get ready to write a couple of things down, because I believe through this message today, God is going to direct some of you, and this word came to me, and redirect some of you. And then I believe God's going to correct some of you. And then I believe God wants to protect some of you through this message this morning. And we've been preaching on, I've already heard your pastor's messages on vision to victory. And this morning, I'm just going to preach part four of that, a message that God just literally downloaded into my spirit. I'd never seen it this way before. And since he did, my mother's went in the hospital and had to have blood. I got food poisoning. I woke up with vertigo. Come on, everybody. But I fought my way through this morning because I believe God has a word for you. And if it's that strong on me, I want to encourage you. I want to urge you. I want to challenge you to be ready to write down what God speaks to you this morning when we talk about vision to victory. Now, back in 2018, I was in Indonesia, and I've never been a thrill seeker. I'm not a theme park rides rider. Anybody like theme park rides here? Anybody? Yeah, I've got some roller coasters. Anybody like roller coasters? I hate all that stuff. And I didn't do any of it much, even when my children were growing up. But over the years, something happened, and by 2018, I now had a one-year-old and a four-year-old grandson, and I began to get this feeling that one day I'm going to want to do that with my grandchildren. And I find myself in Indonesia at an Indonesian theme park. And usually I just have knots in my stomach and sweaty palms, and I just sit there wondering how in the world these people are riding these rides. I just walk through, eat the food, come on everybody, and get out of there. But this day those knots started turning into regret. And I thought, Frankie, if you're ever going to ever have this kind of fun with your grandchildren, you've got to overcome these fears in your life now. You're not going to just wake up tomorrow and be there. So I was with a group of people, and I just said, take me back to the very first ride, and I'm going to ride every one of these rides. I got a little video. I know it's kind of a cell phone video, but I want to show you just a few of those rides. And in Indonesia, that's me in the blue shirt there. I've got my hands in the air. I'm actually having fun, y'all. In the U.S., the typical ride is 2.5 to 3 minutes. In Indonesia, it's 4.5 to 5 minutes long. And this one, I don't like heights either. That's another fear I've had to overcome. And this one just takes you up and then drops you. This one, you're inside a building and it takes you up and drops you. And all these years, I have ridden none of these rides whatsoever in my life. And I finally decide to get on. This one right here lasted 2.5 minutes, stopped, and then took off again for 2.5 more minutes. It's one of the craziest. You can stop there. And let me tell you something. I overcame those fears and those knots in my stomach. And actually, I thought to myself, what have I been missing out on? This was fun. I was like, yes, now I can't wait. And I come back from Indonesia. My wife can't believe it. My family can't believe it because I've never ridden any of these kind of rides. And then a family crisis came into our family that really kept our family apart through that entire next summer of 2019. So I had no time to be with my grandsons. Then in July of 2019, God moves my son, my daughter-in-law, my two grandsons to California. 44 hours away from us. And we don't have no time to get out there. And then everybody knows what happened in March of 2020 when the whole world shut down. Come on. And so everything just kept getting in my way. And then all of a sudden, in July of 2021, they moved again to Florida, only 9 hours away. And they moved an hour from a bunch of theme parks down in Florida. And something came to me again. I said, yeah, but those theme parks, they have roller coasters. And I hate roller coasters. In fact, the last time I'd ever gotten on a roller coaster, and one is all I'd ever gotten on, was in 1981. I got on the Mind Bender at Six Flags. And when I got off of it, I said, God, if you get me off of it alive, I'll never get on another one for the rest of my life. He got me off, and I kept that promise for 40 years. 40 years, because in 2021, once I realized my grands was moving back to Florida near those theme parks, I told my wife, I said, I've got to overcome my fear. I've got to overcome. I know it didn't happen when I overcome those other rides, but God's preparing me because one day I'm going to get in a theme park with my grandson. And so I took my wife in 2021 with another young staff. We went to Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri, and rode 5 of the fastest, curlingest, twistingest, twirlingest roller coasters. Some of the highest that take you. I tell you, I kept my eyes open. I kept my arms up. Oh, yeah, there's all 5 of them right there. Just pick one out. Now, you know why I showed you all 5 of them at one time? For all of us that are ADHD and ADD, I want us to have a little bit of fun trying to figure out which one to watch. And for all of you multitaskers, I just want to affirm that you're a great multi. You probably can watch all 5 at one time. And then for the OCD folks in the room, I just want you to finally understand that God knows how you feel. Come on, everybody. Now, I tell you this because, listen, it is a true thing that happened in my life. And so my children didn't know anything about it. And for Christmas of 2021, when we opened our Christmas, our son had given all of our family a full day at a theme park in the Disney Kingdom of theme parks. And on that next day, on 26th of December 2021, in the middle of a theme park, I'm riding rides with my grandson, and we get on one of the fastest, highest roller coasters you'd ever been on in your life. And I was living my dream. My dream was coming to pass. In fact, it happened again just a few days ago. I got to do it all over again in another Disney resort where I rode those fast rides with both of my grandsons having the time of my life. Now, I say that because when we talk about vision to victory, you got to understand there is an order to getting from vision all the way to victory. Your pastor has preached on some in challenging subjects. But this morning, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to walk you through what I call the 4 P's. You see, first of all, God will give you a promise. He'll give you a vision. He'll give you a dream inside of you. And what you're seeing when God gives it to you is the final stage, the provision, the fulfillment of that. And so when God shows it to you, you're not ready for it yet. When God shows it to you, you're not even there yet. But he's showing you something to give you hope when times get discouraging in your life. And so I want you to understand that once God gives you a vision, once God gives you a promise, the very next thing that's going to happen is a problem is going to arise in your life. And that problem will usher you into a process whereby God is preparing you now for the provision of the vision that he's given you. In fact, some of you, God wants you to understand why that you're not reaching that place of provision. Some of you have been on this circle, this journey for a while, but you've not understood it. And today God is going to reveal it to you through his word. Now, both your pastors read from Proverbs 29:18. I want to read it from the Message paraphrase. I hope that don't offend anybody, but here's what it says in the Message paraphrase. If people can't see what God is doing, everybody read that out loud with me. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. In other words, this is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying from this paraphrase. If you can't identify that even where you are, though you're not in the fulfillment of it, if you cannot identify where you are between the vision and the victory, between the promise and the provision, then the enemy will steal your course, knock you off course, cause you to get discouraged and give up. Come on, somebody. He'll offer you a plan B to something that's not God's destiny for your life, and you will miss it over and over again. Now, I need to say a couple of things here. If by any chance I offended anybody from saying Disney, or if I offended anybody by reading from the Message, please forgive me, though I have to admit I thought it might. And yet I did it because the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, and I think you'll understand it as we walk through this message, that if you're going to get a vision and a dream from God and you're going to fulfill the vision of God, the devil is going to give you many opportunities to get offended in the process. And let me tell you what we do in America. If we can discount the messenger, if we can find offense with the messenger, if we can try to discredit what he's saying, then we feel we are not responsible for the word that's been given to us. Come on, I need a better amen on that one. So I want you to understand there is an order, there's a sequence, and it's promise, problem, process, and then the provision. And let me say this, is why this is so important in your life. It's the order that's important, because if you don't follow the order, you're never going to get to the provision of the dream and the vision that God gave to you. In other words, it's like a combination lock. You can have all the right numbers to the combination lock, right? But if you don't have them in the right sequence, you will never open and unlock the things that God has for you in your life. And so I want to talk about the story of Joseph a little bit here. And you can read the story. I hope you'll write this down. It starts in about Genesis 37 and goes through Genesis 47. Just the part where he has these dreams from God. And then all kind of things come against him. But finally, 22 to 23 years later, after God had given him that vision, he finally walked into the fulfillment of that vision in his life. When God gives you a prophetic word, we go home thinking it's going to happen tomorrow. God's talking about 10 years from now. And because it didn't come to pass tomorrow, we've already let go of those, forgot about them. And I believe God had me come here to get you back on track and go after every promise and every vision that God has ever given you. From vision to victory. Come on, everybody. And so the greater the vision you have, the bigger the problem you're going to run into. And let me tell you why. The greater vision you have, the greater the impact you're going to have on eternity in the lives of people. So if it's the greater the vision, it's the bigger the problem, it's going to be harder process. It's going to be a longer process. In other words, you say, but you don't know how long I've been in this. Yes, but you can't get your eyes off. If it's taking you longer, then your impact is going to be greater. Come on, somebody. And you cannot quit the process. And so I want to just show you what was happening in the life of Joseph. He had these dreams, and these dreams was bigger than he could ever imagine. He thought they were just about his brothers, his 11 brothers, and about his mother and father. But let me tell you, kind of a spoiler alert here. I'm going to go ahead and give you the end of the story. Every dream Joseph had came to pass. But it was much greater. Listen to me. It was much greater than his family. Look what Genesis chapter number 41 verse 57 says. It says, so all the countries. In the original Hebrew, it means all the world. Everybody say all the world. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all lands. In other words, the famine had reached the entire world. So the entire world had to come to Joseph, and God used one man to save the entire world, everybody, come on, and brought his dreams to pass. But it was much bigger than just his family. And I want to tell you, the vision that God has given you is much bigger than the perspective you have of it right now. And God wants you to get your hope back and embrace the truths that he has for you. So here we go. Everybody write this down. Number one is the promise. And Joseph had these two dreams. He had one dream that symbolized his brothers would bow to him. Then he had another dream that symbolized that his mother and father and 11 brothers would bow before him. It got him into a lot of trouble too, everybody. Can I have an amen? I remember being in the well in Scottsboro one night and seeing Pastor Spencer on the platform, and I thought about this. Do you know that not only did Joseph's brothers get upset about his dream, but even when Joseph shared his dream with his father said, what are you? His father couldn't even grasp or perfectly have a good perspective of what his son was even saying. What, you think me and your mother are going to bow down to you? See, we misunderstand. Come on, everybody. We try to understand it from our human standpoint, and God wants to see it from his standpoint. It took 22 to 23 years. But then we're headed toward the provision. Everybody say provision. It's number four, but I want to put it number two here because that's where we're all headed, is we're headed to the provision when everything come to pass. Look in Genesis chapter 47, verse 11 and 12. Here's the provision. Here's the fulfillment of all of Joseph's dreams. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided for his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread according to the... In other words, here is Joseph taking care of his whole family just like the dreams that God had given him. But it didn't happen overnight. It was 22 years, because between the promise and the provision is, number three is the problem. Everybody say the problem. Come on, everybody shout out the problem, because we all got them. And actually, the problem began before Joseph ever had his dreams. In fact, if you'll just go back and read chapter 37, I'd encourage you to. There's got some good parenting lessons there on dysfunctional family parenting. And you don't never need to have a favorite child. There shouldn't be a favorite child. It causes everybody to turn on that. I know, because I was a favorite child, one of six in my siblings. You know, I'm serious, everybody. Don't have a favorite child. And then don't be a tattletale. Joseph was a tattletale, and he caused his brothers to resent him. And then don't be a braggart. There are some dreams that you need to keep to yourself and let out a little bit at a little bit. Some of you spouted your dream off, and the minute you did, the enemy came against you. Your family won't understand your dream. Mary, who had a vision from God, who became pregnant supernaturally, there came a time in her life where she did not understand the mission and the vision of her own son Jesus. She thought he had lost his mind. Everybody is not going to understand where you are. And remember, the greater the vision God gives you, the bigger the problem's going to be. And then he shared those visions, and here's the problem that arose, and it's found in Genesis 37:28. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 30 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. I mean, all of a sudden, you're talking about a problem. His vision was, I'm going to be a ruler. Now he's a slave. So what do you do when the vision looks like it's going in the opposite direction? When everything can come against you that can come against you, even the fact... Even the fact that your brothers tried to steal your favor off your life, and they stole the coat that his father had made for him and destroyed the coat. But notice how the process began in Joseph's life. And notice what Joseph did and what Joseph didn't do, because I believe that's important in this story. So number four is the process. Everybody say the process. How did a 17-year-old boy, Joseph was 17 when he got the visions from God. How did a 17-year-old boy, sold as a slave, learn how to manage the wealth of another man? How did he learn the skill of interpreting dreams? He had never interpreted. He had had some dreams, but he had never interpreted. Where did he get a wisdom to be able to store up enough through 7 years of a whole nation and come up with a strategy to keep the whole world alive and keep the kingdom progressing instead of going and decreasing? How did he do it? He did it during the process. And I want to tell you, in the process of getting from vision to victory, from getting to the promise to the prison, to the provision, there is this process, and there's three things you have got to stay away from and overcome in the process. Everybody say process. Come on, say process. The waiting time, the in-between, that when it feels like nothing is going right and everything's going against you. So what do? The first thing that Joseph did was he overcame doubt. See, doubt will always give you an opportunity to quit. Doubt will give you an opportunity to throw in the towel, to say, oh, it must not be God, or I'll never be able to do this. And those doubts will come against you when you find yourself in just the opposite position that you're believing God's going to put you in. You believing for this, and you've gone the opposite direction. You believe you're the head, but you're looking more like the tail. Come on. You believed you'd be out in front, but you're flagging further and further behind. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is when God begins to work, and the enemy will come and try to bring doubt in your life. But I love what it says, and I want you to look at this in the life of Joseph, because I believe it's so important. In chapter number 39 and verse number 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight. Now he's been sold to a man named Potiphar. He's just a slave. But look what the Bible says. But Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then this man who was his owner made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. Under this young boy. I don't know how old now. He was sold when he was 17 or 18. Maybe he's 21, maybe he's 22. But there, he got put in as a slave. But he's worked his way up because the favor of God was still on his life. Because he didn't doubt. He didn't give up. He didn't throw in the towel. He kept his eye on the vision. And he let God work the process in his life. And I think he learned some lessons here. And there's two lessons I think he learned that I want to share with you. And let me say this, that obedience is better than sacrifice. And listen, faith without works is dead. Can I have an amen? And you can't have faith without hope. You've got to have hope because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so God was working this in the life of Joseph. Taking him through a lessing process, at building his character. And I want you to write that down or make a note of that. He's building his character. And I'm going to read a verse of scripture here that'll show that. He's teaching him how to wait on God and not take matters into his own hands. And look what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Everybody say endurance. Everybody say patience. And perseverance, character. In other words, God's saying, you're not ready yet, Joseph. That's where I'm taking you, but now you're in the process. And what you see as a problem is my process of working in your character. And then character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. In other words, God said, I want you to get your hope through endurance and perseverance. And I want you to understand, when you put your hope in the vision, in the promise God's made you, that vision will not disappoint you. God will not let you down. If you don't give up, God won't let you down. If you don't doubt, God will come through. When you exercise faith, you'll experience God's faithfulness in your life. And then there was another lesson, a character that God was teaching Joseph during this time. He was teaching him to serve another man. Why? Because he wanted to make a ruler out of him. But there's a process. Everybody shout process. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 12, look what Jesus said. This is Jesus. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you've not been unfaithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the trust of true riches? Watch this verse. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? In other words, when God gave you that vision, he's saying, here's where I'm taking you, but you're not mature enough yet. You don't have the character yet. You may be gifted. You may have charisma, but let me tell you something I've learned through the years. Charisma will open doors for you that your character can't keep you in the room because you're not yet mature enough to handle that kind of authority, that kind of power, that kind of money. Come on, can I have an amen? God hadn't forgot his vision. He's getting you ready on the inside to be able to receive the vision that God has for you. And so God was teaching Joseph to be faithful what belongs to somebody else, to take care of it like he would his own. And because he passed the test, I've already spoiler alerted you, he saw the fulfillment, but he had to go through the process. The second thing you'll have to overcome is distractions in your life. Distractions will offer you a plan B. Does anybody remember the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar? Hagar was Sarah's plan B. Come on, everybody. And it wasn't God's destiny. It wasn't God's purpose. And the enemy will bring distractions. It may be a job title. It may be a higher salary package. In Joseph's case, it was a seductive woman. His master's wife tried to seduce him. But he overcame the distraction. He said no. He said, I'm going to somewhere greater. What is out in front of me is greater than what is in front of me right now. And look what he said in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, verse 8 and 9. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. And he's committed all that he has into my hand. There is no one greater than this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then I can do this great wickedness and sin against who? Not just his master, but to sin against God. Now watch this. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For all have missed the mark. For all have missed the mark and come short of the glory of God. When you take a plan B in your life, you are missing the mark of plan A that God had for your life. And you're falling short of what all God can do with you. And he's saying it's not too late. You can get back on the road this morning if you'll realize you got to get in the process, stay in the process, learn the lessons, overcome doubt, overcome distraction. And then there is a third one. And I think this is probably the most important that I want to share with you this morning. And it's discouragement. Everybody say discouragement. Discouragement offers you an opportunity to blame others for where you are. I said discouragement offers you an opportunity to blame others for where you are, not to take responsibility. And when you blame others, you're giving others the control of your life. And what others have tried to do is opposite of the word of God. And God is trying to build inside of us and prepare us. And he's saying you got to overcome discouragement. In other words, you got to keep pressing through. Do you know in that prison, Joseph got thrown in prison, in that prison, he could have been bitter. He could have gotten discouraged. He could have said, God, I did what was right at Potiphar's house. I handled everything correctly. I refused to be distracted. I refused to give in to doubt. Look where. This is my brother's fault. This is Potiphar's wife. And he could have gotten bitter in that prison. But the Bible says even the favor of God came on him in the prison. And even though he was the lowest in the prison, he rose to where he was the head prisoner, only under the head jailer. He was over every other prisoner. And he was so taking care of other people that one day a baker and a butler ended up in his prison. He saw a sad face on him. I don't know where he learned how to do this, because this is the first time we see it. But God was sharpening his skill of interpreting dreams. And those two men had dreams, and Joseph interpreted their dreams, and exactly what he told them came through. And now he has another gifting that God is preparing him. Because remember how he gets to the throne, everybody. Remember how he makes it to the provision of his vision. It's by interpreting another man's dream. Even when it looked like his dreams were still unfulfilled. He could have gotten even more bitter, because the Bible says when he let that butler go, he said, "Don't forget me when you get back in front of Pharaoh." But look what the Bible says in the book of Genesis 39, verse 23. It says, "But the keeper of the prison did look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper." I apologize. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. In his weakest moment, in Joseph's weakest moment, everybody say weakest moment, thrown into prison, discouraged, he learned a new skill. He kept his spirit right. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my affliction, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak," say it out loud with me, "then don't give up in the process." When you're at your weakest, begin to realize, "God, I need your strength." David got Joseph got a new strength that was a gift of God to interpret dreams. He knew it was God. He immediately gave glory to God. And now Joseph, when it could have been at his worst, he was operating at his best. He overcame discouragement. He overcame distractions. He overcame doubt, and he overcame getting bitter. Look what it says in Genesis 40, verse 23. "Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot about him." Man, it seems like every time he does something right, it goes backwards. And the devil whispers, it wasn't God in the first place. You had too much pizza. You've been chasing a dream. You just hurt somebody else. That wasn't God. Quit wasting your life on something that you're never going to see. And doubt will begin to fight. And you have got to overcome doubt and not give up on the promise God made for you. It's part of the process. Don't get distracted. Don't get your eyes on other people. It looks like they're walking in the destiny of God. They may be, but they may be not. Keep your eye on the vision God has for you. Keep discouragement out of your life. Keep blame out of your life. Look at somebody and say, "Don't blame nobody." Come on, say, "Don't blame nobody." Because God's working character in your life. Now, I want you to watch this. I read a lot of scripture. I was preparing it yesterday, and I thought, man, this looks like Pastor Greg's scripture list. Come on, somebody. And he knows I can kid him about it. He can fly through the verses and open the Word of God. But listen. Over in the book of Psalms, we read this entire process in about 7 verses. And I want to take the time to read it. I want you to understand, he got a dream, and then a problem came. And that problem was the introduction of the process that God had for him before he could find the provision of it. Look at it in Psalms chapter 105, verse 16 through 22, and I'm winding down. This is God. "Moreover, God called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph." Whoa, 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 whoa. Look here. His brothers didn't just sell him. God sent him. You can choose to feel sold, or you can choose to feel sent this morning. It's up to you where you choose in the process that God has you in. who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He's in the process of the vision God had him. He was laid in irons until the time came, his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Was it really God? It was like a burr in his saddle. It was like sand in a muscle. It was grinding on him. Was it really God's word for my life? The word of God tested him. Then suddenly, the king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions. And watch this last verse and remember how important this last verse is. To bind princes at his pleasure and teach the elders wisdom. In other words, God's vision for Joseph was to be a ruler over people. At 17, Joseph didn't know how to do that. He was too arrogant. Let me tell you why. Do you know why he got thrown in the pit? Because he went out to meet his brothers. And he didn't just go out to meet his brothers. He wore that coat that he knew his brothers resented because his father had. He was arrogant. He didn't have the character. He didn't know how to treat people under you, how to be a servant leader. Come on, somebody. And had God just let him get in that position with wound and hurt and bitterness toward his brothers, bitterness toward Potiphar's wife, bitterness toward Potiphar believing her over him, bitterness toward the butler. Come on, everybody. Had he gotten bitter, he'd have never been ready for the palace. But God worked in his character until he knew how to serve those that he led instead of punishing those that he led. Look at the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Everybody read it out loud with me. And I said, everybody read it out loud with me. And come on, let's try it one more time. And forgiving. If anyone has a complaint. Everybody say complaint. It really means grievance. Everybody say grievance. In the original Greek, this is what the word means. Literally, you open it in Strong's. The first word under the definition is blame. If you've got anybody to blame today, if you've got anybody that you've been blaming for why you hadn't seen your vision come to pass, why your dream hasn't been fulfilled, if you've got any resentment, if you've got any bitterness, if you've got any unforgiveness inside of you today, then God's trying to show you. You've gotten off course. He's trying to get you back on course, get back in the process. Because that unforgiveness is not only holding you back, but it will hold back the gifts of God flowing through you. Had Joseph had all of that, when he was called for to interpret Pharaoh's dream, the gift of God wouldn't have flowed through his life. But he stayed free. And one day those brothers came to him that had sold him. And let me tell you what had happened. Somehow, long before they got there, the Bible says, when he revealed himself to his brothers, five times he told them, you didn't do this to me. You may have meant to do this to me, and you may have meant it to be evil, but no, God used it for his good. You may have think you sold me into slavery, but God sent me here to save a nation. In other words, he didn't blame anybody. He realized it was a part of the process, and he was now ready to be the ruler and walk into the victory of the vision that God had given to him. In fact, at the very end, when he's sending his brothers back to fulfill what God had promised them in the land. His father was dead. They were afraid now because his father was dead. Joseph was going to get them. But see, no, Joseph had forgiven. He had given up all blame. He had canceled all debt. You don't owe me anything. It doesn't matter what happened to me because of your decisions. Jesus paid it all. When his blood paid for my sins, for everything I've ever done to anybody, it also paid for anybody that's ever done anything to me. And it's clear. Joseph says it again. To me, this is the most astounding thing in Genesis 50, verse 19 and 20. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. So I want to ask you this morning, where are you in the process? Did you take a plan B? Did you cut the cocoon? Do anybody know what I'm talking about when I say, yeah, I'm up here in Alabama. Come on, everybody. My mother had to teach me this lesson as a child. We talk about it every so often. I was talking to her about it the other day, how it has revolutionized my life, especially in the last 5 to 6 years. When I was a little boy, my mother was walking me back from the creek, and there was a cocoon shaking on a tree, just shaking on a tree. And I knew a butterfly come out of that cocoon. And so I told my mother, I said, let's tear it open. Let's tear it open. And my mother said, no, son, don't ever tear open the cocoon. It's dark and it's hard. But it is the rattling of that cocoon that this caterpillar has begun to grow wings where there was legs. And how he strengthens his wings is pushing against that cocoon. I'm sorry, that just told me I'm out of time. Come on, everybody. Listen to me. She said, son, if you cut that cocoon, His wings won't be strong enough to fly him. But the day that his wings are strong enough to break out of that cocoon, they're also strong enough to put him to the fulfillment of what he was intended to be from the very beginning. That cocoon was not just a problem. It was the process that God had for his life. I tell this story all the time. I'm going to tell it again. Can I ask everybody to just stand? I don't know what you normally do, but I just feel led to do this for a moment. I actually told it on Instagram, and it's gotten over 27,000 views by people who aren't saved and in the world. When I was 17 years old, I told a girl I was adopted. It was a lie. I don't know why I do it. It was stupid. I guess I wanted her to feel sorry for me. The shame of that is my mother, the doctors wanted her to abort me because she had had some problems, and I was going to be about the 8th child she had birthed. They didn't know if she would be able to handle it, but she said no. Come on, everybody. And one Sunday morning, I never told the girl any different, and about 5 or 6 weeks later, one Sunday morning, I saw her talking to my mother. And I saw the look on my mother's face, and shame came all over me. Guilt, embarrassment. I was 17 years old, 1977. And I want to tell you something. I went and got my little Chevy Vega hatchback. I drove to my house. I got everything I could get in garbage bags, suitcases, and I packed up everything I owned and went. Now, this was before we had social media and cell phones and all this. I went and found an old roach-infested trailer in a broken-down trailer park and rented it and had to spray it and clean it. And for days, my parents didn't even know where I was. Till one of my brothers saw me at work and got my address. And they would come by and they'd knock on the door. I was so ashamed. I was so embarrassed. I would not go to the door. They knew I was in there. But I wouldn't. For months, I avoided all contact of my parents. One night, I went into work. My brother Dan, he's next to me. He said, Frankie, meet me at McDonald's in the morning for breakfast. I hadn't seen you in a while. And McDonald's in 1977, just like McDonald's today. It's going to be packed full for breakfast. And I walked in there and I was looking for my brother. And when I got about right here, there was my father. 1977, I still feel it. He had tears running down his face and a big old smile lit up his jaws. And he walked right up to me at McDonald's, grabbed me, kissed me right in the mouth, said, son, your mother and I forgive you. We love you. It's time to come home. And this 17-year-old boy, doing it on his own, fell into my father's arm and wept. And even though I couldn't move home that day because of a lease I'd signed, I went home, made it right with my mother. And 1997, 20 years later, my dad died. And from the day in McDonald's when he hugged me till the day he died, he never, ever mentioned or brought up that terrible season of my life. And I'm going to tell you, since 1997, that is what has shaped my life. It is why I am the way I am. It is why who I am today. And though you need to forgive because it's blocking the gift of God from flowing through you. It's keeping you bound. It's holding you back. But let me tell you, there's a greater purpose in forgiving. And if you've ever received any kind of unconditional love and you've ever been forgiven by God, you need to remember it every time you have a chance not to forgive somebody. But you need to forgive somebody because somebody needs to feel what I felt in that McDonald's that morning when months of bad decisions and guilt and shame and embarrassment in a moment was lifted off of my shoulders. In fact, do you realize my dad for months had been trying to, I was already forgiven, but I didn't know it till my brother Dan atoned and got me and my dad together. And that's what Jesus did when he came here. God had already forgiven us. He had already made a way before we ever sinned. He already had the plan of salvation. But he sent Jesus to show us. And I want to just say this today. Some of you have jumped out of the process. You got offended or whatever. You got out of the process. God's not mad at you. He's not condemning you. He's redirecting and correcting you. Because the vision hasn't changed. The promise hasn't died. The provision is still there. And I'm going to pray for you. But before I do, I'm going to read one more scripture. And this is that same verse that Pastor and them has based this series on. And it's found in another translation. And it says this. Where there's no word from God, people are uncontrolled. But those who obey what they have been taught are happy. When God gives you a promise, there's going to come a problem. Which introduces you to a process that God is getting you ready for the provision. I don't know where you are. Heads bowed, eyes closed all over this room. I'm not sure where you are. If you've let go of your promise, if you've never really received a promise, or whether you've been afraid to believe for the promise. It looks like every time you started out, I'm going to believe, I'm going to hold on to it. It looked like everything went in reverse, and the enemy comes in and says, you're wrong. If it was God, everything would be going good. And the enemy wants to cause you to give up and quit. He wants to distract you. He wants to put things that will relieve the stress and make you feel like a little reward for hanging in the process. And the devil's a liar. He's trying to distract you and give you a plan B that's going to cause you more problems and not bring you provision. And then there's discouragement that'll eat away at you and cause you to blame. And I don't know. I feel very tender at this moment right now that God wants you to forgive him. And let me tell you something about this. Let me tell you something about it. Forgiveness is not complete until the offender knows they've been forgiven. I'm going to say that again because God's calling you to an act of obedience. It won't be easy. And you may need to pray for wisdom and get God's plan. But God is saying he not only wants you to forgive, but it's not complete forgiveness until your offender knows you have forgiven them. Like my dad, I forgive you. I love you. It's all in the past. Let's move forward. Somebody needs that from you, and God is preparing you. If you can pass this test in the process, you'll be ready for another level of authority and blessing and provision in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me just ask you, I'm not going to go through the points, but just be very honest and vulnerable. If you're here and you say, Pastor Frankie, God was talking to me in that message. It wasn't so much what you said, but it's what he was saying to me. And I believe God sent you with that message for me. If that's you, just slip your hand up and put it right back down. And yeah, God sees everyone. Yes. Such a loving God. He saw your heart before he saw your hand. He just wanted you to make a move, as Pastor Spencer was talking about, just taking a step. And that's when miracles begin to happen. When you begin to obey God and he begins to form you, form your character and hone your skills and new gifts and new strength begins to flow through you. He's preparing you for that door opening moment when your heart is pure and there's no bitterness. Oh no, but there's only the gift and the vision of God in front of you. That's when God can bring it to pass. Father, I pray for every man, every woman. Will you join hands with those that you're with? Just the ones you're with. I just pray for every family, for every single person, for every man, every woman. God, I don't know where they are this morning in the process from vision to victory. But God, you know, and I ask you to speak to them this morning. Let the word of God that you sent me with and the Spirit of the Lord bring it back to their remembrance. Begin to encourage them. Begin to strengthen them. I pray for supernatural perspective. I pray, God, for joy now that you've revealed what took them off course, what offered them the plan B, God, what cut them out of the cocoon. And now, Lord, you're leading them back this morning. And for every person that needs to call somebody, text somebody, get in their car and stop by somebody's house today, write an email, I don't know. But God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask one more question. If God is speaking to you about that, if God is speaking to you about forgiving someone, I know it brings up all kind of fears and your mind's going crazy, but I'm going to tell you, a peace from God's going to flood. If you say, God is speaking to me about it, pray for me. I want you to put your hand up and put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. I know it. I've been there. I'm preaching what I've walked through, but the process is worth it. And God, I begin to speak courage in their lives. I speak faith in their lives. Oh God, faith without works is dead, but faith with works, faith with obedience, God brings in the supernatural. I pray for supernatural setups. I pray, God, for people to contact them. They'll see them in the restaurant. God, I pray for divine wisdom in terminology and intellect over their lives. The brooding breath of God over their lives right now and over this house, God. Even as we walk through the last 2-year process, we've walked into this place from vision to victory, and we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, if God gave you a good word, will you give the Lord a good hand this morning?